Welcome to Tell Me What You're Working On, where I speak to creatives in our community. Blank walls are the perfect canvas for big ideas and big imagination. I had a chat with graphic designer and mural artist Dipesh Prasad and got to ask all the questions. Is it hard to paint big? How long does it take? And how did you get into it? And he was the perfect patient guest. Listen to him share it all with me. Hi, Dipesh. Thank you so much for joining me today.
How are you doing? Thanks for having
me. So, can you tell me the various things that you do? Can you describe it to us, please?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I've got one of those jobs that are kind of like a / description. You know, the ones that your parents find it hard to explain, you know, to their friends what your child does. But I'd say, like, the general of it is I'm a graphic designer. And then within that, I run a studio. And then I also paint murals. And then I lecture at Curtin University, all under the umbrella of graphic design.
So how did you start? Can you tell us a bit about your background? Were you a kid that, you know, always drew? You know, were you encouraged to do art when you were young? Did you study? You know, how did you get where you are?
Yeah, definitely. It was always, everything kind of just gravitated around art, I guess. So yeah, childhood drawings and doing all of that sort of stuff. And then doing a specialised art course at Balcatta Senior High School because they do the like the art scholarships kind of things where you go to school on a Saturday doing art. So I did that throughout high school where I went to school like, you know, 6 days a week, and then did the art classes, and then through that went to Central TAFE and studied graphic design. So everything was always centred around, you know, kind of like drawing and then picking, okay, well, what's a career that roughly lets me keep drawing? And then, you know, out of the careers book was you could be a graphic designer, which was relatively new, you know, like back in 2000. So then, yeah, did Central TAFE graphic design. And then from that, went to Curtin University myself and studied that and got my degree. So I kind of like did all the educational things around art and graphics. And then, yeah, from there moved to Melbourne and then was sort of connected to the street art scene there. So I guess that facilitated the mural aspect of what I do. And then from there, yeah, I returned back to Perth and then started picking up teaching and designing and then just kind of doing all the things just as like a very eventual progression, you know, like my resume was quite patchy like back around then. So, yeah.
And so did you always draw as a kid?
Yeah. I think from as a child, just always was drawing kind of thing. So drawing comics, video games, all of that sort of stuff. Just like the usual things, drawing Ninja Turtles, drawing Transformers, you know, like, so, and I think that was just like a very good outlet that was quite consistent. So yeah, always kind of drawing and sketching and doing all those.
And were you encouraged in your creativity as a young person, like to pursue that?
Yeah, 100%. Like my parents were really great with it, where they saw that I enjoyed it and then they made sure I was enrolled in all the things. So that's why we kind of chose, you know, like a school that specialized in art. And they were really supportive of kind of, you know, like doing that. They were great as well, like within that, you know, going to school on Saturdays where they made sure I stuck at it because it's so easy at that age to be like, oh, I don't want to draw anymore. I don't want to go to school, you know, on a Saturday as other kids are playing and doing other things. But they were kind of good with like, no, you kind of committed to this. So you're sticking with it, you know, like the whole way through.
Yeah.
So now in hindsight, I'm glad I, you know, kind of even when I didn't want to do it, they were like, no, you know, like see it through.
Yeah.
And then on coming out the other end of it, you know, that's sort of what I've stuck with, which is good.
And so what took you across to Melbourne? What made you decide to make that move?
I think back to 2000s, everyone kind of did that general progression where they're like, I'm moving to Melbourne. As in like they had this perception of it being this like mega city of arts and creativity. And, you know, like you hear these stories of, oh, there's so many jobs out there and there's not that many graphic design jobs in Perth. You know, you're kind of just looking for like opportunity.
Yep.
I remember going on Seek as well during TAFE and there'd be like three graphic design jobs at Snap Printing and you're like, oh, I don't want to work there. Like what else? Maybe if I go to a different city. So yeah, after I kind of graduated, I was like, oh, I'll try to, you know, there's nothing really tying me down. They're young, yep. You know, so yeah, moved across to over east. And then that was, yeah, one of the best things I've done because it just sort of expands, yeah, just experience working at different agencies and work at agencies that you don't like and then companies that you love and really kind of helps figure out what, you know, like where your sort of interests lay.
And is that when you started doing murals?
Yeah. So over there, there's a big street art scene, which was quite great. So kind of got into that I guess, world. Met like a bunch of artists and friends back there. I had like a van at the time that I sort of shipped over from Perth to Melbourne. And I one of the like initial, I was at an art exhibition and people were going painting, but they needed a car. And I was like, well, I've got a van if anyone needs, you know, like help carrying paint. So I got to kind of like tag along through doing that and painted one wall. And it became, over there, it was very much like a weekend hobby, you know, like a group of artists get together, they'll find a wall and, you know, like get allocated a little space. And it was just like a day thing of having beers and painting a wall and having fun. But through that, I think that's where I did my reps and clocked up hours of actually painting on walls.
Yep. You know,
because it was very much like the weekend hobby, doing that for weekends for, you know, like several years.
Yep.
And then after that, just, you know, like scaling up the walls and, you know, like going bigger and more detailed. And
so then when you came back, how did you translate that to here? Did people approach you or did you just start doing walls
yourself,
like approaching people yourself?
Sort of similar. I think having photos helps because especially with things like murals, people can't contextualize seeing like a sketch on a piece of paper and being like, I want that on a 10-meter wall, you know, like they need to see a photo of a 10-meter wall in an environment to know that, you know, it's sort of scaled up. So when I returned, still like as much of my weekends free, tried to work out places to paint. It's a bit more trickier here because there's not that many sort of public walls readily available just to muck around on. Whereas over there, there's heaps and, you know, that we buff them every week and then go again. Mm. But I think because I had that bank of photos and experience from Melbourne, when I came back, that was in the hands of people that needed murals.
Yeah.
And then I sort of got inquired to do one wall, then another and then another. But that sort of kickstarted being able to see like living proof of, hey, here's previous ones I've sort of done.
So is that a big part of what you do these days?
I'd say everything like with the design studio, teaching and murals, it's kind of like in thirds. Mm. So I guess a third of my, you know, like my time working is like painting walls and doing art and those sort of like large scale installations. Yeah.
What's the largest one you've done?
Gosh, I can't think. Maybe like the Claremont Quarter, there's one that's maybe 24 meters wide across by 8 high. I think that's a rough dimension, roughly where Freedom and Bunnings is in Claremont Quarter. But the Katanning Hotel was like the whole side of the hotel. That was pretty big. A few that are all ballpark. Some are like longer than the others.
Yep.
But yeah, I'd say like the ones that are side of buildings would probably be the biggest.
And do you have a favourite?
I think maybe the Claremont one would be one of my favourites because it was just like, I think it kickstarted a style that now everybody kind of requests from me, which is just like black and white monochrome style. And then I do this kind of like line work portraiture that almost looks like a banknote. So from far away, you can kind of make out what it is if it's a person, but then up close, it just looks like abstract lines. So I think that's my favourite just on the experience. And then from that sort of kicked off, you know, like other opportunities.
So how long does it take to paint a 24-metre wall?
That one was a week, I think.
Is that all?
Yeah, that one was like, I think the scale, like you just kind of scale up things like brushes and rollers and all of that, you know. So even though it's that big, you kind of like all your tools kind of get bigger to sort of like block in areas and do all of that. So, yeah, it was kind of, I'd say roughly 8 days to do that. And then my old man loves kind of jumping on the tools as well. So he came and helped out. And yeah, that was pretty fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And do you still have the van?
No, sold the van. Yeah. Now we've got baby seats in it.
I was going to say to carry the big tools.
Yeah. Totally. No, like definitely need to get something else.
So tell us now then a little bit about your design work. What kind of clients do you do work for?
Well, it's pretty funny. It started just as the umbrella of graphic design. So if you need, you know, like business cards, logos, all of that sort of stuff, doing all those sort of designs, it's a lot more illustration focused, I guess. People love customized like characters and, you know, like things of that sort of nature. But over the last, I guess, 5 years, it's moved more in towards alcohol. So like craft beer, wine, whiskey, like all the good things that WA is pretty abundant in, you know, because there's a lot of it out there. So they all need labels and packaging and design. So yeah, it's now really kind of niched into a lot more focused around, you know, like craft beer, yeah, wine, whiskey, those sort of things.
So when an alcohol company approaches you to do their bespoke design, what kind of words would they give you in their brief? I'm very curious.
A lot of prompts around, I guess, where it's made, what's in it, you know, like those are the kind of catalysts for the creative part of it. So regions, quite popular, you know, like if it's, you know, like Dunsborough or Margaret River or, you know, like Busselton, wherever, you can then look into the landscapes and the, like, the people, the agriculture, the community there, and then get inspired. Yeah. And then also what sort of alcohol they're, you know, kind of making. If it's craft beer, what sort, you know, like, is it a draft or IPA? And then from that, you kind of connect the dots and then come up with a concept around it.
Cool. So let's talk about your lecturing, because that's the other third of you, of thirds of life. How did it feel when you were first approached to speak to students?
Yeah, it was a bit daunting at first. It all kind of, like, quite now in hindsight, serendipitously worked out to that. The person that taught me, Lee Ingram from Curtin University, we stayed in touch for sort of several years. And when I was in Melbourne, he'd always sort of reach out and be like, oh, some students like in my class are bringing in your work as an example, just to kind of, you know, like show that that's what they want to design. And they're like, if you ever want to come and, you know, like chat to the kids when you're back in Perth, let me know. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. And then just, yeah, one holiday that I was in Perth, we were just chatting and he's like, yeah, pop in and, you know, like we can have a chat. And then from having that chat, he was like, look, if you're, you know, like ever considering moving back to Perth, I've got to, can do a couple of classes here. And then that's turned into working at Curtin for about 12 years now.
Yeah.
But yeah, originally I was kind of like, well, I'm not a formal teacher, so I don't know how I would, you know, kind of like go. Mm. But it's really, yeah, I guess about sharing experience and bringing that into the classroom, which I love. Like, it's good. I always loved tutors and lecturers that, like, lived by experience. You know, they kind of, like, they're working in industry and they're able to show you examples of work. I had a few in TAFE that didn't have that. You know, they were kind of, like, retired designers. So as they're teaching you, you're kind of, like, really questioning the merit of it. You're like, well, is this outdated content or what's the, you know, like, what's the relevance of it? Or you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But, yeah, I think I like bringing that into the class by showing students what I'm currently working on.
Yep.
So if we're working on a project and they need feedback, be like, look, this may or may not work for these reasons. Here's a job that I'm currently doing that has the same kind of, you know, like, issues or logistics around it. And they can kind of see, like, real-world examples of how that content's sort of delivered to learn from.
But I like what you say about, it's role modelling, isn't it? It's industry, it's current industry role modelling, which I think for our younger creatives and emerging people, it's really important to be able to see someone who has the skills that they're learning to acquire and how they're making a living and sustaining themselves, and also in the process, you know, they're fulfilling their creativity.
Yeah, so that, you know, 100%. It's possible. Yeah, totally. They're like at that age, because I was the same way, I didn't have too much guidance around that. And you're so confused because you see tutors and teachers giving you advice and they seem sorted as adults. Yep. So you're trying to, like, navigate, well, how's it contextualized for me? Like, I'm trying to get into the industry. I like these particular styles of design or these things, you know, it could be streetwear or clothing, but how would I get into this? So, like, that's what interests me. They already seem like they've got it figured out, you know, at that sort of age. And just having somebody that can kind of be on that level to sort of walk you through the, you know, like,
it's relatable, like, isn't
different
it?
Things. Yeah, it's relatable. And yeah, just giving, I think giving the advice that I was always seeking for and never got at that age, is really important to me now, teaching and, like, kind of contextualizing that for kids. And, yeah.
And also the way we work is so different these days. You know, technology allows people to do a whole bunch of things in a much easier way than going to an office and using their resources. And it also connects you far
totally.
Further than it probably would have done when you and I were studying. And
100%. Like, I actually love, we have new students enroll that have either followed my work for ages and then that's kind of got them into it, and then they've enrolled into the uni and then spoke, like, you know, like, mentioned it ages later that, oh, hey, you know, like, from looking at your work, you know, I thought, you know, graphic design was a thing that I'd like to pursue. And then
that's, you know, so awesome.
So that's really nice. So they can kind of follow along in so many other, you know, kind of avenues.
Yep.
Like I was saying, like, with previous teachers and things like that, there was very much that teacher mentality of, I should do as I say because I'm a school teacher. You know, you never really query or question it or see what they're doing.
Yep.
It's just kind of like, here's how you do it. Don't question it because I'm the authority figure within this. But then as you get older, you're kind of like, well, can I see, you know, like, what you do or how you do, you know, like, do design as well, because I need to work out if it's what I like or
Well, it just kind of gives you faith that, you know, your lecturer is still doing
You're on the right track. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I love it. We've got a really great team at Curtin at the moment where everybody's kind of like lives what they do.
Yep.
So they're very much talking through experience, which is great.
And are a lot of students enrolling in that kind of course?
With COVID, I guess they'd probably be, you know, like, I'm not sure the numbers like with that. But yeah, no, it's very much a course that people are still pursuing. Just anything around those creative fields that people are loving. And then from that, they're realizing that there's so much more you can do for it. Like, it's not just, I guess, you know, you get a piece of paper, then you go off and be a, you know, like working as a graphic designer in a studio doing a 9-to-5. Yep. But that they can do so many different avenues or niche different parts of what they like doing. Or they can do it part-time and then start up a side business and, yep. you know, all these things that can then facilitate what a quote-unquote job is nowadays, you know.
Yep.
There's so many different avenues that people can do. So when they kind of explore that for themselves, it's really great because you can see what inspires them to, like, not just do the norm of a desk job or an agency job, you know. They can really dig into what, you know, like, inspires them.
And
what
and it's viable and it's something that they can see doing in the long term rather than in the short term.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we have students from down south that come and, you know, like, they're into surfing and they live that, you know, like, they live in Dunsborough and you can see that's where their interests and focus are. And there's a community or there's enough work out there within that niche for them to be the designer of, you know, like, within that surf industry or within that down south industry. So, yeah, there's an abundance of, I guess, work out there. It's just kind of like catering, you know, like, people's niche. That's, I guess, how we make this joke of just being just pissheads that got, you know, design jobs because we liked beer and wine and whiskey, myself and a few of my colleagues. And then from that, it was just the natural progression of then designing those things that we kind of enjoy out of it. So, yeah, if focusing on something that you love, there's work out there to then go into the creative field specifically for those things.
And is there a lot of work for creatives in Perth?
I think there is. Yeah. I think there's more opportunity. I feel like a misconception of that there's finite resources, you know. Yeah. So there's only so many clients out there and you have to have them to, you know, like, have a job or the other person has it or something like that. But I feel like there's plenty for everybody.
Yep.
And there's so many, like I was saying, just niches and subcultures and communities and that you can cater your skill set for. So, yeah, I think there's, like, plenty of, like, work out there for everyone.
And there seems to be a lot more of a DIY industry these days in terms of people starting up their own initiatives, and then along with that comes branding and visuals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's a constantly evolving climate, especially with, I found during COVID was a time when a lot of people reassessed what they were doing for work, and then they were like, well, no, I want to start a business now. I've been doing this for 10 years. It's time to close shop and now start this new thing. Mm. And then with that comes the need for, you know, like, design and graphics and,
always,
you know, like, branding something. So it's forever evolving. And then there's the opportunities are kind of, yeah, they're always kind of there, or they'll always eventually, you know, roll there.
That's good to hear. That's positive.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's important.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about some artists or artwork that inspires you, whether it was in the early stages of your career or even now? Who do you look to and who do you kind of get, whose work do you get excited by?
Oh, gosh. It's tricky now, especially on, like, just to how readily accessible it is on social media, where you can just follow Instagram accounts and design pages and artists and things like that. And it almost becomes so overwhelming where there's just so much good stuff out there. And then you just feel like, oh, my God, you can never meet up to the standards of, like, those sort of creatives. So, yeah, it's a funny thing. There's always, I think Tristan Eaton's one that stands out, like, as just an artist that blows my mind. But then it's also daunting where you're like, oh, my God, they're so good that I could never even come close to, you know, like, achieving that level of work. I think people that, like, are just so good technically at their craft is inspiring. So whether that's in music or art or design, like, I'm a sucker for attention to detail in things. I think that's why I like hip hop music so much. Like, I'm very much into lyrics and into rap, you know, and the technicality of rap. And I think that then extends through to art and design, where I love the technicality of seeing somebody do really detailed work because I appreciate the intricacy of it. Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of inspiration comes from, is seeing somebody that's just honing their craft so well.
And so I want to ask about the evolution of your style. I'm curious, how are you able to talk a bit about how your style has evolved from, say, when you freshly graduated, you know, when you were starting out, I guess, through the various things that you've done, and then now you've described your style as being quite distinct, and it's essentially monochromatic, and it's a particular kind of line work, etc. Can you look back and see how it's evolved and perhaps what's influenced it to become what it is today, which seems to be obviously where you're comfortable right now?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel like because my background's graphic design, it's all about communication. So I've almost feel like I don't have a particular art style, but I'm able to either mimic or fulfill briefs for clients. And then that eventuates into, I guess, a style. With that particular, say, monochromatic black and white line style, I think I did it for, one job, and it was something that resonated with people. So then in terms of fulfilling a brief, that's been requested. So it's become this like natural evolution of doing it for one person and then them realizing that's what they love out of my suite of, kind of techniques or visuals, and then doing another one and another one. And, eventually that's become a style. It's very much, I feel like, with design is fashion. So it will go through waves and trends and evolve and chop and change. But I think through those kind of like being able to solve a brief within that technique resonates with people. So then doing more and more of those has then kind of turned into a style or a technique. Yeah.
Do you enjoy the style?
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's I love black and white work, like focusing on kind of like shape. It's interesting doing client work as well, because from childhood, my interests lay in comic books and very bright.
They're your early
stuff.
Points of reference, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and they sort of stick with me. But then for client work, sometimes it's not what they like. So you have the things that you love, but then you've got this style that people want out of you, and it kind of pulls you in two different directions.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, I want to draw comic stuff for you, kind of, but then it's more appropriate for them for what they need it for, so that's where the designer in me kind of kicks in. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, well, it's kind of communicating what they need done rather than just me imposing my artistic preference kind of on them.
So then is there time within your third life, plus family, is there time for you to do that work?
Yeah, 100%. It's been a thing I always have in the back of my mind of like, I want to do an art exhibition. Like, myself and my partner have done a few, I've been involved in group shows, and myself and my wife have done one together because she's a photographer. But I haven't done a solo show, and it's always been that the lingering thing of like, okay, I need to just get a body of work of things I purely love and then to curate and do a show that's just all of that I can be totally happy with. Yeah.
Can you look back at a time and reflect when you had a moment of, or you felt a moment of satisfaction or achievement, like when you looked and just went, yeah, this is it, I've nailed this, in that you're either satisfied, it really turned out the way you wanted, or you look at it now and just go, that was a really great piece of work. Just when everything, I guess, kind of gelled for you.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's funny with, I guess, artists, and that where you have that self-doubt or imposter syndrome where you're never happy with, kind of what you're doing. Something around that I think has helped is, when Facebook does the on this day.
Facebook memories,
I found has been good to then actually reflect and appreciate those things. So, now when I see Facebook, say a wall that I did that I wasn't totally stoked with, a year later of reflection, when I see a photo, I'm like, oh no, that was actually awesome and should have gave myself more credit for it. And I find now year after year, I look back on what I've done the previous year and then been like, no, that was actually great. And then as the next year goes by, I was like, oh, what I did 2 years ago was actually good. But in the moment, I'm kind of like enjoying it, but also half like, I don't know if I'm totally digging it or I can do better or anything like that. But yeah, like the Facebook memories helps me kind of take a step back and look around and see either how far I've come or that I'm sort of doing. Like,
so time gives you objectivity.
Yeah, it gives you kind of like hindsight, time to reflect and look at what you've done. And you see that, there's certain styles now that I've done 5 years ago that I look back and I'm like, how did I draw like that? Because, I feel like I'm out of practice of a particular style.
Okay.
But in the moment, I've been like, I kind of like this. But now I almost want to draw like that again, but I'm, you know, like out of practice in it.
And so would you say that you find that motivating to see the different things that you've done? And I guess also because there's a decent body in terms of amount, you know, does that make you, especially when you have those moments of imposter feeling, which I think most people do anyway, does that motivate you or give you confidence going forward?
Yeah, 100%. I think that thing of like looking back on it and be like, oh, it actually did, you know, like worked out. Like as I'm currently working on jobs and I'm questioning them or looking at it, I'm kind of like, no, it's the right, you know, you're on the right track. And in 6 months or when this pops up on Facebook memories, you're then going to look at it and like it. So that helps me kind of enjoy the journey a bit more.
Yep.
And then kind of as I'm doing it, just have faith in the process.
Yep.
If you're not like one foot in front of the other, as long as I'm kind of like progressing a project,
yep,
and putting pen to paper and drawing, the outcome is going to work itself out. And then in a year, I'll probably do the same thing where I'm like, how did I draw like that?
Yeah.
But at the time I'm kind of, yeah.
And I guess also there's that part of when you're in the thick of it, you're also into the technical and the practical.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And that can kind of take the fun out of it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like while you're kind of going through all the motions because, you know, you want it to be good, you're then questioning and then like comparing. So that's where that Instagram thing's quite toxic where you're drawing and then you fire up, you know, like a design page and see somebody do beautiful art, which looks effortless, and then be like, oh my God, like how are they drawing like that? And then that comparison becomes killer. So that's stuff I tell students as well, is like looking into that and not taking it with a grain of salt because you probably don't see the back end of it. Same as, I guess, myself, as I'm putting up work on Instagram, people don't see the back end 4 months or 6 months that's gone into creating it. So they'll just see a finished product, but not a full sketchbook of scribbles and roughs and 15 other terrible drawings that's led to the, you know, like the 16th good one.
And that's the hard thing, I guess, because it's easy for an outsider to go, well, it looks easy.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the, it gets you that unrealistic expectation of like, oh, you can just draw, you know, like one of one and then you bang out and solve something 100%.
That's why I like behind the scenes stuff, because I like to explore behind the curtain and get the truth just to, as a reassurance.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of slog involved.
Yeah, totally. And that creativity is a process as well, you know, like you're trying so many different things and working out what works, what doesn't, and then just out of that, then you get that one thing that is the final product.
So then let's talk a little bit about the creativity. How do you protect your creativity? And I guess also as someone that's teaching and mentoring young artists,
yeah,
how can you keep hold of that whilst you're fulfilling client obligations and commissions and paying bills, et cetera, et cetera? What do you do or what would you suggest to people to do to keep hold of that and not get it pushed to the bottom of the pile?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, it's working out like routine sort of builds creativity. So if you're setting aside and putting pen to paper and then not having expectations, so if you do it for, you know, like 30 minutes or whatever, I'm guilty because I try to do it but don't do it and, you know, sort of do. But I found something that works is as long as you're sort of doing the mundane routine stuff, that kind of builds your skill set, you know, so like getting the reps in, but then also conscious learning. So trying to watch a tutorial or do a, you know, like a Skillshare or something like that. Because if you're drawing the same thing over and over and you think you're progressing, like there's no new information coming in. So it's probably like as time goes up, you know, you're clocking up your 10,000 hours or whatever, but it's of the exact same thing.
Yep.
Whereas if you sort of learn something new or attempt a different style or something like that, then all of a sudden that sort of, I guess that creativity sort of spikes or you sort of level up a bit because you're then learning a new skill set or a new technique or a new way to hold a brush that might connect dots in other ways that then turns into like a style.
And so does that then keep you energized?
Yeah, it does. Or like what people get excited about something, I guess, that they start being good at.
Yep.
So it's that thing of when people say, you know, like do something you're passionate about. It's like that double-edged sword where if you get good at something that you don't realize you're good at, that's also can spark passion. So starting, I think that's what happened to me with teaching actually, where like I never thought of myself as a teacher, but then once I enjoyed it, I really wanted to invest more into it and see, get good at it and get good at chatting to students and speaking and doing all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So with design, it's the same thing. Like I might stumble on top of a technique and I'm like, oh, I actually love drawing like this and I never knew I did. So then from that, it turns into exploring it a bit more. And yeah.
And are they conversations that students want to have as well, because they're looking forward?
I think so. Yeah, I think like it's good seeing what inspires them, and then it keeps you kind of like keeps your finger on the pulse, I guess, because you're kind of seeing a younger generation and seeing what their artistic kind of like trends are and fashions, and then seeing what you do and then how they're kind of, you know, like doing it, using like new technologies and stuff like that as well. Like iPads have come in using things like Procreate, which is in the last 5-10 years a new program or a new technique. So it's kind of then just like, yeah, peeking and seeing what they're doing and how they're doing it and seeing where it fits into everything.
So tell me what you're working on now.
Gosh, if I just sort of summarize it see what's happening. So uni semester kicks off on Monday. So everyone's back to school. So that consists of teaching, doing a bunch of different projects for Feral Brewing Co. With some fun packaging stuff with them. In terms of murals, there's the Blank Wall Street Art Festival. So I'll be doing a wall with Blank Wall's crew. And then from that, I think I'm painting another wall. Gosh, somewhere it's eluded me. But yeah, a bunch of beer projects, and then in between teaching and then painting wall. Oh, sorry, that other thing. It was at Sneakerland, which as well I'll be doing some painting with the Sneakerland crew. So yeah, it's fun. There's a bunch of different things. And then again, that fills up my working week, you know. So it'll be a couple of days at uni, a couple of days in the studio, and then once I'm painting, then a couple of days sort of in that. And then amongst that, my wife's starting a business of gift boxes called Hella Good Gift Co. So helping her sort of, you know, like curate that and do the branding and get that.
Because that's your brand, isn't it, Hella Good?
Yeah, well, my studio is called Hella Good Studio. So that's something that myself and my wife have always kind of like worked on. And then from that, she's branching it into more product.
Yep.
So they're doing the, you know, kind of curated like gift boxes out of that. And then, yeah, Hella Good Studio. Work on that. So it's good extending it.
And so you mentioned earlier that you'd love to work toward an exhibition. Are there any other things on your wish list that if you could carve out some extra time, you'd love to work on?
Well, I think at the moment working with the colleagues I'm working with, so I work quite closely with Jared Fuller from Zendoc Studios. Myself and him did the Cheeky Monkey rebrand, which we loved working together, and I share an office with Will Score of High Score Designs. So amongst that, the three of us have always just chatted, and then again, it's like rekindled an excitement of working on collaborative projects together. So that's something that the three of us have always sort of spoken about. Do we do art prints, or do we do design, you know, like a project, or do a collaboration with a beer company, or how does that sort of work? But yeah, it's great that the three of us have kind of found each other in that.
Had you known each other for a while?
Yeah, we've known each other for a bit. Myself and Jared started working really closely with each other last year when we did the Cheeky Monkey project.
Yep.
And then myself and Will Scorer, we've known each other for a while. Yep. And then this year we've moved into a studio together, which has been good. So it's good having like another creative that you admire working side by side with them. Yeah,
because I think that's also another issue for creatives, which is isolation in terms of, you know, if you're not working in an office organisation, an office environment where there are people around you, unless you're in a co-working space, which also costs, depending on what you're doing, having those kind of creative peers around you, like you were saying, you know, your face was lighting up as you were describing working with those three and the idea of working on some projects with them, and just, again, that's another thing that is motivating and keeps your energy up, I guess. And
yeah,
you get that. I know you get that in a uni environment because you're a group full of people and you're a cohort. And finding that kind of tribe that you work with, not just your social sort of tribe, but your tribe of, I guess,
like creatives. Yeah. It's like very essential to bounce ideas. We've only just started realizing that because, the three of us are pretty funny, like Lonely Dad's Club, where all three of us have just worked at home freelancing.
There you go.
Like Jared works for himself, I work for myself, same with Will. And then when we started working together, you're like, oh my God, another person to talk to and share ideas with and look at their work and send
just
stuff
to. Just a bounce.
Yeah. So I think with us, like all three of us are in that same situation of, you know, like mid-30s, we've got two kids, you know, we've got families. So then having just each other to, you know, like do projects with. We're all in that similar situation. So our work kind of complements each other's, and we're inspired, or our attention's on the same things.
Yep. Yeah. That's very cool. Where can people find out more about your work or see your work?
Well, you can go to at SoFresh Peche, which is P-E-C-H-E. That's my Instagram account that I generally put up pictures of all my projects. Or they could go to hellagoodstudio.com or hellagoodgiftco.com or at hellagoodgiftco to see the projects of the gift boxes and stuff.
And if you want to see more about Depeche's murals, you can also just Google, and there's lots of articles and images that you'll find about sort of what he's done and where he's done it, and you can go track it down. And
I haven't Googled myself. I wonder what will pop up.
Well, I Googled you for research.
Oh, really? Yeah. Do the pictures pop up, or is it just other Indian dudes?
No, there's a lot of you and your work.
Yeah, cool.
Just other Indian dudes. No. There was lots of really striking visuals
Cool.
of your work.
Okay, yeah, I'll go. When we finish this, I'll go.
There was lots on Instagram, which is great, but if people actually
Google it, see what pops up.
If you're going to Katanning, drive past the wall, because, you know, from what I saw, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. If you just type in Depeche, it'll be
other Indian. Other Indian dudes. I love that. Yeah. I'm not going to let that go. Hey, Depeche, it's been so good talking to you. So interesting. Thank you so much for coming along.
Thanks for having me. This has been great. Yeah. Doing long form conversations and, you know, like talking through the different things. But yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And good luck, and I'll keep an eye out for what you do next.
Amazing. Thanks heaps. It's been lovely.
This project has been made with the support of the City of Stirling through their Community Creativity Fund.